Today's sermon text is from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. You can find it on page 892 of your USV Pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For no one of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. To this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So each of us will give an account of himself to God. That's the word of the Lord.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, holy, holy, holy Father in heaven, who hears the prayers of your saints, not because they're strong, and not even because they're weak, but because the power of the blood of Jesus Christ has purified your children from their sins, and we have access to you through him. And so you, creator and sustainer of the universe, hear prayers of us humans who have been redeemed by the blood. So we pray to you, great God in heaven, that your word would do a work just like this rain that fell this morning, and that it would bring forth fruit of repentance, fruit of faith, fruit of holiness, fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and so forth. So that you, O great God, would receive praise and honor and glory and blessing by the way you get a harvest from nothing. Protect us from the evil one who would abuse your word, use your word, and abandon your word. God in heaven, would you give us a single eye this morning towards you? In Jesus' name, amen. So moving on into Romans 14, and what we have here is Paul, who has explained to us that the heart of a true Christian, a born-again Christian, that their heart, being guided by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, is going to love God. It's going to love one another. It's going to love the lost, all in holiness. And so he moves on now to this particular problem that we covered 2 weeks ago that's particular to humans the world wide over, but it looks different in Christians. It expresses itself different in the church. Namely, the sin of quarreling. Quarreling. So as Fred read our text this morning, you saw that that began with, do not quarrel over opinions. So three things I want to point out this morning. Number one, all opinions are not equal. All opinions are not equal. Number two, there are particular temptations to inequality. Particular temptations to inequality. And point number three, there is a great equalizer. A great equalizer. So this week we're going to talk about opinions. Next week we're going to talk about what does it mean that Christians will stand before God in judgment if our sins are paid for, if our sins are forgiven and gone. And yet Paul just told us that we'll stand before his judgment seat. We'll talk about that next week. And then, Lord willing, in 2 weeks, we'll look at stumbling blocks. Point number one, all opinions are not equal. First subpoint, opinions do exist in the church. Christians have opinions. That might be news to some of you, but like all human beings, we have thoughts about stuff. But these aren't just opinions. These are thoughts that we have or convictions that we have. Our opinions isn't, well, I like this team over that team and it really doesn't matter. But these are things that which we base our life upon. And so he says there, it's the word translated opinions. Other translation says disputed matters or doubtful issues, or the old King James, doubtful disputations, right? So in this text, these opinions come from, these differing opinions are about eating, what we eat, what we drink, and what days we observe. Notice in verse 2, he says one person believes he may eat and the other one eats only vegetables. So it's about food, opinions about food. Down in verse 5, you see one person esteems one day better than the other, and the other esteems all day alike. And we didn't read, but down in verse 17, he says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness. And in verse 21, it is not good to eat, drink, or eat meat, or drink wine, or do anything else that causes your brother to stumble. So the three different things that he mentions here is what's going into the body and food and drink, and what is observed on days. Now, all of these three things, these big pillars of disputed matters or opinions, have to do with religion, have to do with the way people are convicted and expressing their faith in God. And they exist. An opinion, we see in verse 2, is what one believes. In verse 5, we see that opinion is something that is we are fully convinced of in our mind. We call this our conscience, which literally means with knowledge, having knowledge. But with that knowledge, this conscience is our sense of right and wrong based upon having that knowledge. So this opinion is not apple pie or cherry pie, which is better. It's talking about what we believe is actually right and wrong. And in this context of this church in Romans with Jews and Gentiles, it's about religious eating, religious drinking, religious days, and how they're observed and whether that's right or wrong. So we have opinions in our conscience that differ from one another in the church. But why? Why do we have different opinions? And we're going to see here that they are not all equal. Notice the language in verse 1 and 2. As for the one who is weak in the faith,
So we have here a person who has an opinion, who has a conscience that leads them to do things religiously and by faith and honor, we see, but they are weaker than others. That implies there's a strong one. He's writing to the strong one. We see in verse 2, one person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. So Paul is speaking to these stronger in faith believers about those who are weak in faith. He's not saying lack of faith. He's not saying unbelievers, but there are those in the congregation whose faith is weaker than others in the congregation. So he's saying we have differing opinions, and all these opinions are not equal. One is a weaker opinion, and one is stronger. It means one's right and one's wrong. Or maybe they're both could be wrong. Not in this context. But they both can't be right. If you put some food on a plate and one person says, my conscience, my knowledge will not let me eat that because, as we see in his language, I honor God and I want to give thanks to God, therefore I'm not going to eat it. And you put the exact same food in front of the person in the pew behind that person, and they look at it and say, I'm going to honor God and give thanks to God, and I'm going to eat this by faith. Same exact food, two totally different consciences. So the key is to knowing what to do. What to do in this situation. Two people, two different opinions, one's weaker, one's stronger, one action that's either eat or don't eat. And what he says here is don't be quarreling about this. Don't be quarreling about this. Wait a minute. We're talking about honoring God. We're talking about giving thanks to the creator of the universe. And either you're going to eat it or drink it or observe this day or you're not. How can this be something to be divided upon in opinions? How in the world can the strong look at the weak and say, you're okay. Do what your conscience leads you to do when they know they're wrong. When they know they're not strong, at least. So there's different opinions in the church. These opinions are not all equal. Next point I want to look at is the temptations of inequality. What comes when Christians have different opinions? Quarreling from the text. That's what comes. When we have different opinions about things, we end up arguing about those things. And then quarreling, and then getting jealous. But why? What is behind the quarreling with different opinions? I'm going to propose to you from the text, hopefully show you from the text, that two things are present, two particular sins to quarreling. Number one, pride. Number two, being judgmental. Pride and being judgmental. I get these from chapter 14, verse 3. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. So you have the stronger. He says this stronger should not despise the weaker. So that's arrogance. That's looking down in despising. Look down on is how some translations translate it. Or regard with contempt. So you have the stronger saying, well, this is the way it's obviously done. And the weaker won't do it. So I'm going to bring myself above them because I have more knowledge. I have more understanding. I am stronger. And the temptation towards the stronger is pride. Looking down on others and despising them. You see the same word in verse 10. Why do you despise your brother? That is the word Paul uses when referencing how the strong are tempted to view the weak. With arrogance. The other temptation Looking the other direction is judgmentalness. Being judged, I don't think judgmentalness is a word, by the way. Or at least my spell check says it's not. But being judgmental. Look in verse 3. Let not the one who abstains, that's the weaker one, pass judgment on the one who actually eats. You see the same language in verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? So when it's the weak looking at the strong, you get being a judge, raising yourself up and saying, hey, that's not the way to do it. And this whole text is about being judgmental. And how do you come together? You have two people, one weak and one strong, with differing opinions about how to live by faith and honoring and gratitude to God and what they do. And one is tempted to look down on and despise, and the other one is tempted to look up and say, you should not be doing that. It's wrong. Passing judgment. Passing judgment. In the church, there's weaker and stronger brothers. So to give you, for any that might not understand, let's get a picture now of this church he's talking about, in this food and this wine in these days. In this church, you have Jewish believers who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have Gentile believers trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And both of those come out of a context of some sort of religion. I mean, we have tons of people now who are proud atheists, say, I believe nothing. That didn't exist a lot in this world. You have the Jewish people leaving their life of faith, which was do all these things. Observe the Sabbath, don't eat pork, don't drink this, don't have bread with leaven in it. You had Gentiles that was offering meat, they would kill an animal and sacrifice to a pagan god that Paul says is a demon, right? And so they're coming into this church, and you're having some Jewish believers that immediately are catching on. I'm free in Christ Jesus. That when Jesus declared all things clean, I can eat pork. And another one saying, oh, I'm not there. I can read it in my Bible, black and white. Don't eat this animal. How in the world can you look in your Bible and say, don't eat this animal, and then eat it? I mean, think of Peter when he got the vision from God to eat this. He said, I have never done this. And in the Gentile side of things, you have Gentiles believers getting saved and growing in faith and realizing that a piece of meat's a piece of meat. If somebody said hocus pocus over it to some false god, it's still just a piece of meat. I'm going to thank God for it and eat it. And another one that in their mind, they cannot detach the hocus pocus false god from that piece of meat. And so they won't eat it. The temptation here is for these to have a clash. And one to look up and say, you ought not be doing that. And one to look down and say, I don't know why you care about these things. You just don't have enough knowledge. And in fact, it's because knowledge, Paul says in another place, puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. The church, that church, and this church, there is weaker believers and there's stronger believers. Now, in case you're tempted to look around and say, well, which am I and who are they? I'm going to propose that on any given topic, you might be weaker or stronger. And that you might be able to handle the food issue and not the drink issue, or the drink issue, not the food issue, the day issue, but not the clothes issue. And there's a great temptation to think that all the saints should know all things equally and behave the same. But we don't do that with human beings in the real world. We don't do that with children. We don't give driving tests to 2-year-olds. And we don't put bibs on 16-year-olds. We treat them different, but because we understand they are different maturity, different growth. Christianity is the same thing. There are baby Christians who are weaker in the faith, and there are more mature Christians who once were weak in the faith, and by God's grace, through His Word, through the power of His Spirit, in the church, they learned and grew and changed and matured. And we're going to have different opinions about these. Notice he says, and I learned this from another pastor, weak faith is faith. I alluded to it earlier. These saints are trying to honor the Lord with their actions. Not earn, honor is the word he uses. They're giving gratitude and thanks and honor unto God by eating or not eating. Strong faith is faith. Weak faith is faith. And it's growing into maturity. And the temptation of strong faith and weak faith is to be arrogant because you've learned something in your 60 years of Christianity and studying your Bible. And you can't believe that this person who was studying doesn't yet know about this food, how Christians should eat, how Christians should drink, what Christians should wear, where they should go, what they should do, how they should talk. And in that arrogance and that pride in despising your brother, you're assuming that when you came out of the womb, you knew how to drive a car. And you have no patience for someone that has to learn the things that you learned all on your own without being taught. That's what pride is doing. David and I was talking about a totally different topic this morning, but it was comforting to be reminded that everybody that knows something we don't know learned it from somebody. The self-taught person learned stuff from other people. Or they learned it the hard way. My joke is, I can tell you 7 ways to not winterize a pool. I cannot tell you 1 way to winterize a pool. And I've tried to learn from everybody under the sun, and I can't figure it out. So the temptation, dear strong in faith, who walks in freedom of the Lord, is to despise and look down on others because they don't yet know what you know. And the temptation for the weak is to look at other Christians and say, I cannot believe they do that. That is wrong. And you become their judge. So, why can we rest, not be prideful, not be judgmental, when there's inequality, when they're stronger and weaker? How do we coexist then? How do we coexist? Point number 3, the great equalizer. We are not our own. We are not our own. Romans 3. Let the one who eats, let not the one who eats, despise the one who abstains. Don't look down on the different conscience of your brother. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. Don't put yourself as judge. For, here's the grounding statement, God has welcomed him. That's why I'm saying these things aren't sinful matters. This was very helpful to learn from another pastor this morning. None of these things are viewed by God as sin. Eating or not eating, drinking or not drinking, observing the day or not observing the day. It says God has welcomed him who eats. Verse 4, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? You are not their master. You are not their judge. They do not belong to you. They will not stand in front of you on that great day. It is before his own master that he stands or falls. In verse 6, we see that these are observing in honor of the Lord the day, eating in honor of the Lord and giving thanks to God. And the one who does just the opposite is doing it in honor of the Lord and giving thanks. Meaning the great equalizer in the way that we can have different consciences, different opinions, and not quarrel is We belong to a master. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are serving Him. If we keep our eyes heavenward, if we look at our master in heaven, rather than the actions of our fellow saints and their opinions, we will do well. Because, verse 7, none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. Yes, we were slaves to sin and we've been bought out of that. Romans chapter 6 told us we are now slaves to righteousness. We have been set free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we live, verse 8, we don't live for one another, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. This is how you get along with different opinions. You bring God into the mix. And you realize we have a master, we have an owner, we have a judge who will judge on these matters. Why do you pass judgment? Verse 10. Why do you despise? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. This, in motivation on why you shouldn't despise your brothers and sisters in Christ and why you shouldn't judge your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you will stand before God someday. And they will not be there. They will not be on the jury. I love the Western idea of a jury trial, being judged by your peers. It's because earthly judges are not all wise, they're not fair, they're not righteous unless they're held accountable to. But there is a righteous judge who knows everything and will judge rightly. And we're going to look at what this judgment seat is next week. And I've got to stand in front of Him. You've got to stand in front of Him. And what we did with this food, with this drink in these days, we'll answer for. But it's not like loving your enemy. Do good to them and God will get them. Do good to them and God will lead them to repentance. It's not that. These are not enemies. These are brothers and sisters in Christ. They view things different, either because they're stronger than you or they're weaker than you. But notice in verse 4, and he will, at the last part of the verse, he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. This judge that I have to stand in front of, my motivation to get along and not quarrel with you about these particular matters is not that God is going to get you someday. It's that God is able to help you stand and carry you, and I will be judged someday. The motivation in loving your enemy is God is a judge. He will set it right. The motivation in loving your fellow brother and sister in quarreling is God is a judge and He's going to look at me in this matter. So I can't look down and despise and I can't look up and judge because there's a great equalizer, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Father in heaven, who is upholding His saints, who is making them holy. And I need to see things from that great equalizer's view. Who knows exactly who he's dealing with? The Lord is better than a great mom who knows exactly what her baby needs and knows when to start putting them on solid food and knows when to wean them and knows when to help them to walk and knows how they can learn their ABCs and carries them all the way through these little things. Our God in heaven is bringing us all individually along together in the church, but individually along with what we need at the pace in which we can handle it. And He's pushing us. And sometimes it feels like a pace we can't handle. Sometimes it feels like harshness and discipline, but He is doing right. And with the faith that I beg you to have in your relationship with God, I'm begging you to have with the relationship of your brothers and sisters in Christ and God. So here's the main point. Here's the main doctrine I want you to take away from today. It takes maturity, which takes time to discern how to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in day-to-day living. Let me repeat that. It takes maturity, which takes time to discern how to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in day-to-day living. Christians must be humble and patient with one another. That's the opposite of pride and being judgmental. Humble and patient with one another while remembering that we all belong to the Lord and He will mature His church. I remember when it dawned on me that people had been very patient with my weaker views. I can tell you the guy, I can tell you the topic, and it dawned on me when I learned it and I saw the freedom in this situation, and I'm like, aha, He never despised me, never looked down, never put me in my place, never said, well, actually, let me tell you this. He just said, keep trusting in the Lord, keep reading your Bible. He just encouraged me in the faith. Not every wrong view can or should be corrected immediately. Not every wrong view can be or should be corrected immediately. I know that seems counterintuitive. Like, well, they're going to be wrong. What it is faith. Realizing that you are not God the Father, you are not God the Son, and you are not God the Holy Spirit. And maybe, just maybe, this God that sustains the universe can bring freedom to this dear saint to eat this food, to drink this wine, and not observe this day without you. Maybe, just maybe, God can sanctify His people without you. Now that's a dangerous thought, because we've been put in the church for sanctification. And I don't want anyone in here, when you're thinking about yourself, to think, I don't need the church, God will get me there, God will sanctify me without these people. That's what He's saying. That is not what I'm saying. I am saying God will sanctify those other people without your meddling and quarreling. So what do we do? Application. Well, we just look at the text. We welcome the weak. We welcome the weak and we don't quarrel with them. When somebody shows up in your life and they have not yet learned what you have learned of how to walk by faith on a particular issue, love them. Don't point out their weakness. Don't be the Christian that just pours upon them that, well, I learned this, and I learned this, and I learned this, and I did this, and here's what the Bible says about all these. They can only take so much. A baby needs milk, and then they need soft food long before they need a steak. And we have to be patient and love the weaker brethren. We were all there once. Number two, and this has been assumed now, but I want to hammer it home. Learn from the Holy Scriptures to form your opinions. Learn from the Holy Scriptures to form your opinions. I've been talking like it's just okay to have any opinion. We'll disagree, and some stronger. There are opinions that Scripture says is wrong. In this area of food and drink is not the same thing as murder and adultery and false witness. It's not the same thing. And so you must use the Holy Scriptures. You must go in humbly and be asking yourself and begging God to open your eyes as you read the Scriptures. What am I wrong about? Tommy Gray reads the Bible almost every day, and it feels like often my previous thoughts are just confirmed by what I'm reading. Whatever topic that I'm into at the time in my studies, it's just I read it and I'm reaffirmed. Oh, yeah, Tom, you're right, right there in Habakkuk. Oh, Tom, you're right there in Exodus. Tom, you're right there in Galatians. It is so easy to do that. We must humble ourselves before the Holy Scriptures to form our opinions. And don't assume you're right. I would say you could say love the Lord and love His Word. Next, so we welcome the weak. We let the Scriptures inform our opinions. Number three, obey your informed conscience. Obey your informed conscience. We'll talk about this more in 2 weeks about stumbling blocks. But look at verse 5. One person esteems a day better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Notice what Paul says. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Meaning this conscience, this knowledge, this moral sense of right that God works through His Spirit, through the Word, is this needle saying, this is right. Always do what you think is right. Always do what you think of right is right. Never, never, never think something is wrong and then go ahead and do it. Each one needs to be fully convinced in his own mind. The last verse in this text is anything not done in faith is sin. Anything you don't do by trusting in the Lord, thinking it's right, is actually a sin. And that's why when we talk about stumbling blocks, it's so important. Because this conscience that God has given us is such a wonderful gift. And we need it to be tender. We need it to be sensitive. You know, in different parts of my life, I use gauges. Some of you use gauges. I think of old vehicles with speedometers or tax, right? And some just doesn't matter. And you get this, you know, here's full and here's empty and anywhere in there just doesn't matter. And then there's things that really matter, like taking your blood pressure. Or if it's a really important engine I'm losing my mind there on that. I'm talking about something I don't know that much about. Some gauges are more important than the others, and you need it to be more precise. You need it to be more precise. If you're driving from Simpson to Vienna, how full your car is might not matter. If you're flying from New York to London over the Atlantic Ocean, you want to know exactly how many gallons is in that tank. You want to know exactly. And you want to have all the math figured it out. Your conscience is that guide that God has given you to be fully convinced in your own mind. Do everything you do thinking it's right, or don't do it. And if you see your fellow brother, your brother's sister, doing something different than you, ask yourself some questions. Run it through the Scriptures. Don't assume you don't do it this way, therefore they shouldn't. Number four, do not quarrel over opinions. So before you ever get to, don't argue about these things. Welcome the weak, love them, learn from the Scriptures, and obey your own conscience. Number four, don't quarrel over these things. Don't despise the weak, and do not judge those who have more freedom than you. Do not quarrel over these matters. Number five, in everything that you do, live to the Lord, from the text. Honor and give thanks unto God. That means faith and love towards God in everything you do. If you can't, do it with a clear conscience, out of faith, and loving the Lord, don't do it. And number six, and this sets up for next week's sermon, remember that we will all give an account for ourselves. So I want you to love the weak. I want you to love His Word. I want you to love your neighbor and not quarrel. I want you to love God and honor and give thanks to Him and live unto Him. But lastly, I want you to fear judgment. I want you to be wise about your own judgment. God is working in every single saint. God is working in every single believer. Ask Him to work in you more. Spend as much time when you have a difference of opinion. Spend as much time asking God to make your opinions proper and right. Spend more time asking Him to do that than you do asking Him to straighten the others out. Let us pray. Father in heaven, You are good. Your Word is good. Your Spirit is good. And You're at work in Your church. Father, I would ask in the name of Your Son, Jesus, that You would teach in Your gentle ways Fellowship Baptist Church to not quarrel about disputed matters. Father, let us be diligent to agree on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But give us love for one another and patience with one another as You mature us. Father, this is so difficult because some things seem so important, like what we eat and what we drink and what days we observe. So, Father, I ask that You would have Your way with Fellowship Baptist Church, that You would make us holy, that You would mature us, and that You would cause by Your great kindness us to love one another as You do that. In Jesus' name, amen.